linoleum knife. As Dave White put it, I'm on an island and I'm not doing a show. But I am. This is Alonzo Duraldi. I'm film critic for The Wrap and What the Flick. And yeah, we are on the Canary Islands this week for my nephew's wedding. And since Dave didn't want to do a show, I thought it would be a great opportunity to catch up with the person who really kind of set me on the path of what I do for a living and what I'm interested in the world. Joining me this week is my brother Fernando Duraldi, MD, an Atlanta-based urologist, and really the person who is to blame for my entire life. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, so here's the deal. Fernando attended Harvard in the early 70s, 73 to 76. And as a lot of you may or may not know, that was a real period. That was kind of the ground zero for a lot of the revivalism of classic Hollywood stuff. That's sort of where the Casablanca cult was born. That's where the revitalization of the rediscovery of the Marx Brothers happened. And so Fernando came back from college with all these amazing books about old MGM musicals and about Greta Garbo and about, you know, W.C. Fields and all this stuff. And I devoured them as a kid, and that's really kind of where my interest in this stuff started. But I've never really talked to my brother about where he got interested in all this stuff. So I guess, because you were pre-med. It's not like you were a film student. What was the landscape like when you arrived in Cambridge, and how did you get into all this sort of old movie stuff?
Well, times have changed so much since back then, but certainly on campus, they tended to offer 5, 6, 7 movies every weekend. Mm. And of course, as being a campus affair, they found old movies that they didn't have to pay much money for, so they could generate some income, you know, to make it worth their while. Uh-huh. So really, it was just the fortune of being able to catch all these movies. Many I'd seen on TV. So again, older movies would play on TV just randomly, though. Right. And you couldn't just say, I want to go see this movie, and it would be there for you. But then going to college, a lot of these movies would appear on campus, and so it was a great opportunity.
I mean, you know, we were raised in a household that wasn't necessarily, like, movie-centric, but definitely I think there was an interest there. I remember, like, if, you know, Bedtime Story with David Niven and Marlon Brando came on TV, like, we would drop everything. But, I mean, you know, obviously you're 12 years older than me, so there's a whole chunk of, like, life in that house that I missed. You know, did you guys go to movies a lot as a kid? Or, I mean, was it a thing in the household, or did that come around later?
Oh, no, we definitely went to lots of movies growing up. And it was back in the days where you could just drop your kids off and they could spend the day there, because you could just watch the movies over and over, or even, heaven forbid, slip into another one that you hadn't paid for. But our parents were very comfortable in just dropping us off and letting us spend the day doing that. Mm. I think a lot of the classic movies my mother had seen growing up, also in Spain, of course, it was an edited version, so that sometimes the story wasn't at all what the story was, because they had sort of twisted it around to keep it within their moral code.
Right.
But there were things that she'd enjoyed, and so when they did appear randomly on TV, then we would watch them. And
well, like, can you remember?
Well, she was a big fan of William Powell, Myrna Loy.
Oh, nice.
And then there were, you know, just other femme fatales of the cinema.
Because I remember we would occasionally all pack into the car and go to the late and lamented Silver Screen Rep Theater in Atlanta to go see, like, I remember we all went to see Rebecca once, and I think Wuthering Heights rings a bell. So I mean, yeah, I definitely remember, and I have very distinct memories of the night that I was told that I could do my homework later because Notorious was on.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that was a plus for Atlanta to have its first sort of revivalist theater.
Yeah.
And I think that lasted for a while.
Yeah, no, it was around for, like, God, my entire childhood in high school, I think. Yeah.
15 years, maybe, or something like that. And there were maybe even a second one for a while there.
Oh, yeah, the Rhodes. That's right. You're right. Yeah. Well, and I mean, unfortunately, you know, the VCR and cable kind of killed rep theaters in most cities. I mean, L.A., we're lucky. We still have about 4 or 5 of them, but yeah, most cities, you're kind of SOL on that front. So, I mean, you know, because you were, you know, you're at this academically demanding place. You went through in 3 years. but you still found time to, like, see, I mean, not just see movies, but clearly, like, develop some sort of scholarship because you were buying these books and stuff.
Well, that was also a time when we had independent bookstores, and so Harvard Square was just full of them.
Yeah.
And the prices were reasonable, and you could get things either new or secondhand, and it was just a whole new world that those things existed, because otherwise, you know, we hadn't grown up with movie books around the house or anything like that, but it was, again, a way of referencing things also, and knowing, okay, all the works of this person, or whatever.
Well, you know, I spent one summer at Harvard when I was a high school student, and it was right by the Harvard Square Cinema, which just closed its doors in the last year. And it was great because they had it was three screens, and on the downstairs screen, it was a double feature that changed, I think, every day. And then upstairs, they had a revolving Woody Allen double feature for the entire summer. So, I mean, like, that was the year that I caught up on everything. So were you going off campus as well as whatever was showing on campus?
Absolutely. And, of course, in high school, our Latin and French teacher had always been a big fan of Greta Garbo.
Oh, right, right.
And those movies were very hard to come by because they didn't really play on TV or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so they actually ran a series at the, I think it was the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston or something like that.
Oh.
And, so that was really going out of my way to leave campus on a weeknight. To go down there to watch these movies, but it was like such an opportunity, I wasn't going to miss it. I'd seen a few of them by that point, but I really got to see a lot of them.
No, I mean, yeah, I think we were, you know, the I mean, I think, like, for example, you know, our father really wanted me to become a doctor like my other three brothers, but at the same time, you know, I could tell that he had an affinity for film stuff. I mean, I remember taking him, actually, speaking of William Palomar and Loy, the summer that I was an intern at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Ted Turner had just taken over the Omni and turned it into the CNN Center, and there was a six-screen AMC theater there. And this didn't last, but his original plan was one screen would show Gone with the Wind 24/7, 360, not 24/7, but every day of the year they would screen Gone with the Wind so that any Atlanta tourist could always have a chance to go see it. And then since he had just bought the entire MGM library, they had double features changing every day, and I took Dad to see The Thin Man. And I remember he loved that. I remember one time watching Ball of Fire with him on TV with Barbara Stanwyck and Gary Cooper, and he was just laughed uproariously throughout. And Young Frankenstein. he was howling during Young Frankenstein. And you are still, you keep up. Like, I'd say of my sibs, like, you're the one who goes to see more movies or at least knows what's out there. And, you know, and you've got three kids. That can't be easy.
Right. So we try. I think, though, Atlanta has not become the mecca for filmdom by any means. And certainly we have not benefited from the MGM library. Other than the fact that anybody can benefit from the MGM library.
Well, yeah, now we've all got TCM.
That's right.
But weirdly enough, Atlanta's actually now become this big production hub, thanks to these states sort of, like, you know, their generous tax policies with productions. I know a lot more films I've been seeing. It's funny, I went through this period of, ooh, Atlanta's in a movie, and now it's kind of like, Atlanta's in a movie.
apparently number three in the film industry now.
Wow.
In the States.
Has that changed your practice at all? Or are you seeing, you get more, like, out-of-towners who are, you know, here for a couple of months? And
we're expecting it to, because the newest one, the Pinewood Studios, is not even a mile away from our hospital.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and so they, I think they're up to six studios now, and they plan to build maybe 30. So
wow.
They have several hundred acres of land there, and it's going to turn into a really big production.
And this is down in, like, Peachtree City, or?
Fayetteville.
Fayetteville, okay. Yeah.
Fayetteville. Going to the farm.
Glamorous Fayetteville, Georgia.
Exactly.
Home of the industry. So what have you seen lately? What have you liked?
Now I'm putting me on the spot. What have I enjoyed recently?
Have you seen Boyhood yet?
I have not seen Boyhood.
Oh, man. You got to see Boyhood.
It was good.
Yes, you will like it, I think.
I mean, Atlanta, again, the more esoteric films come for a very short time, and you have to really be on it to catch it. And, you know, we still play the blockbusters.
Sure.
That may or may not be any good. Gosh, I can't think of what the last... We've been so busy this last month.
I know, getting ready for this trip has been kind of bananas. And so, yeah, this week, you know, if I have been on the internet some, but I'm making it a point to not let anybody ruin Gone Girl for me. So I don't want to hear your spoilers about Gone Girl. Just let's be clear. I'm talking to the audience, not Fernando.
I hated the book. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I hated the book. Such an odious person.
Well, yeah, I'm already hearing, like, complaints about misogyny. But again, I don't want to know until I see the movie.
Okay,
so
fine.
Then, you know, and I'm missing Left Behind this weekend, which is really making me mad because I hear that's hilarious. It's the biblical rapture movie that they already made once with Kirk Cameron, but now somehow they've upgraded to Nicolas Cage.
Okay, then.
So, what kind of stuff do you watch at home?
At home?
Yeah.
We watch everything. So I thought we had the maximum package you could get, and then, what is this, Roku. Roku came into our lives, and so now there's not a thing we can miss. My wife has Amazon Plus. So, you know.
Are you a binge watcher or no?
Not so much. Yeah. I did that some with 24 way back in the day.
Oh.
And it has a substance, yeah.
Yeah, when we did Americans on What the Flick, I had to sort of power through season one, and
I could see that several seasons.
Yeah, which I mean, on the one hand, it's convenient and I like having it all there, but there's something to be said for the savoring of just an episode when you have to wait a week to see the next one, and when it kind of all runs into one thing, you don't really delineate anymore which was which and yada yada. Now, you know, obviously I think I managed to appropriate most of your film library. Did you kind of continue an interest in this stuff? I mean, obviously medical school, you had even less time to sort of have free time for that, but I mean, is that an area you've continued to pursue over the years you've been interested in?
Really, you know, not as much. I don't find the same kind of glamorous books that, that were, you know, the Four Fabulous Faces
right.
of yore, and I haven't really seen as much out there. Again, we've become sort of ghettoized into the Barnes and Nobles and the people that are offering you the same things, and so I don't really see as much of it. I'm sure you see it all.
Well, it's as somebody now who has written a couple, it's definitely a shrinking market. and to be honest, I mean, I'm part of the problem. You know, I have shelves of film reference books, and they get dusty because you can look it up on the internet. You know, and you're right. They don't put out those same kind of glossy, yeah, big, you know, I guess they do some coffee table books, but, you know, they're not quite the same.
It's going to be more fashion, so, you know, you can still got all your Vogue books or all your...
Right, right.
Whatever, Vanity Fair puts out some glossy ones.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, there have been some, if you're an Audrey Hepburn fan, they definitely, every couple of years, there's a new one of those of, like, all of her, you know, film stills and you know, behind the scenes, whatever. But you're right, it doesn't work out the same way. But yeah, no, I just, I still have, you know, 50, I can't remember what it's called, I don't have it in front of me, but it's...
The greatest movies.
Something like that, and I wouldn't necessarily agree with all the ones they picked, but that was kind of one of those books, it's like, oh, so I should probably go see, you know, Citizen Kane, I should probably check out, Hail the Conquering Hero, and, you know, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and whatever else, you know. So, you know, thanks, and it's all your fault. no, it's, I could not have been an autodidact without your library, so I appreciate it.
Again, as I recall, at age 3, you already had memorized every movie playing in town. All we had to do was ask you. You didn't maybe know all the times, but you certainly knew where they were playing.
Well, you definitely gave me a nudge in any event. all right, so this was just been kind of a quickie. I wanted to have a sit down with my brother, and you know, since this is, by the way, the same brother who left his children at Harry Potter, but Dave said to say that he totally is on your side on that one because his parents left him in movie theaters all the time. It toughened him up, made him into the person he is today, and sometimes you just need a KitchenAid stand-up mixer. So.
There you go.
We will be back next week with our regular program. You know, the usual stuff. Check out ChristyLemire.com. Listen to Dennis Anyone with Dennis Hensley and the B-Movies podcast with Bibbs and Whitney and the Schmoes Know and all the other stuff. Check out our website at linoleum-knife.com. Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at LinoleumCast. Drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com with questions, comments, top 10 lists, bottom 10 lists, funny movie theater stories, whatnot. Anyway, we will catch you next time. Bye.